Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, right here with Sally Atwater. She wants to be the next Superintendent of Education for the state of South Carolina. How you doing today, Sally?
I'm fine, Miss Ann. I'm fine. And I do want to be that next superintendent.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would just, looking over your background and everything, where are you from?
I'm originally from Union, South Carolina, and I've just come from Union.
I understand you just had some good fried chicken.
I sure did. Gene's Fine's Food. Gene Gregory. He's 80 years old and still works till 12 o'clock at night.
That's probably keeps him young, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I don't believe that because I do that too, and it's wearing on my bones. Yeah, but anyways. But Sally, so you grew up in Union, and when you were growing up, what did you want to be?
I think I've always wanted to be a teacher. My mother worked for the Union County Schools for over 49 years, and she always said, be a teacher. And so I went to Winthrop, and I studied elementary and special ed.
Did you ever want to be anything else?
Maybe once in a while a veterinarian, but when I took a chemistry class, the teacher was so tough, you know, that I lost interest in that pretty fast.
Wow. Well, you know, teaching certainly is a great career, and certainly teaching today is a lot different than it was a long time ago.
It really is. You know, I went back 2 years ago.
To teach.
Yeah. After being away for 30 years.
And what made you decide to do that, Sally?
You know what? I had followed my husband to Washington many years ago, mm-hmm. and I'd done different things up there. And I'll be glad to share that with you. But I saw then the mess of Washington.
And it hasn't gotten any better.
No, it hasn't gotten any better. In fact, it's gotten even more challenging.
Right.
So I decided I wanted to come home to South Carolina and home to teaching because I knew that a teacher has the greatest influence upon a child, except for the parents.
Well, you know, the thing about that is, though, in today's teacher's world, they spend so much time doing paperwork and everything. I'm not sure. Do they get to influence a child as much as maybe they did 30
years
ago? You know
what? What the problem is they're doing that paperwork on their own time.
Okay.
They're doing a lot of stuff at home in the afternoons late or at night.
Yeah.
Or early in the morning. You know, I used to get to school at 6:30.
Sure.
You know.
And what did you teach when you went back?
I taught a special needs class. Most of my kids were labeled developmental delayed. They were going to have challenges. They had been through kindergarten, and when they were labeled developmental delayed. That means they hadn't been psychologically tested for that didn't come till 10 years of age mm-hmm. for special ed. But they knew they were going to have challenges. And so they were in my class. So it was a self-contained class.
What did you find the challenges as far as teaching that?
Teaching of reading was a challenge because you have to do most of that individually.
Mm-hmm.
Same with their math, you know, but they really like the science, which is a lot of hands-on at that age, and social studies. You know, South Carolina Educational TV, you can video stream a lot of things from there, so they can get a clear vision. This was a kind of a low economic area of South Carolina that I taught kind of in the city and in the rural section. So
Of where?
Carlton County.
Carlton, okay.
Uh-huh, which is Walterboro.
Sure.
So it was really interesting. You know, the kids were great. They had some challenges at home, as do many of our, you know, students in South Carolina. So.
Sure.
But I taught first through third grade. Had one fourth grader. I did it for a reason. I wanted that class because I wanted to be the first teacher that they had that I could, you know, bring out that enthusiasm for learning.
And... did you find, because you were a teacher and then you kind of left teaching and then you came back to
yep.
it, did you incorporate some of the new ways of doing things or did you bring some of the ways that you had been doing things
actually,
back when?
Actually, a combination of both. It took a lot of time going back after 30 years.
I'll bet.
I mean, 24/7 sometimes, and I kid you not.
Yeah.
I taught disabilities, and disabilities has a different kind of structure than, say, the regular classroom, mm-hmm. from the standpoint that we do have a lot of regulations that we have to follow, and we have our IEPs, which is an individual education plan for a student.
Sure.
And, you know, you have certain meetings and how you have to call the meetings, and, you know, you have to announce the meeting times and have the guardian or parent or grandparent or whoever, you know, be aware of it and that kind of thing. So, it, you know, you had a lot of that to do, too, besides lesson planning.
Sure.
Hey, the state got its money worth, I'll tell you that.
I believe that.
Well, and, you know, a lot of things that have changed. Technology alone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I was talking about the video streaming and all. Well, we also did electronic grades.
Yeah.
You know.
So you came back and you did that. Then what made you decide to want to become superintendent of education for the state of South Carolina?
You know, when I got there, in my first school, a lot of the teachers and I were really talking. You know, they were so frustrated. You know, And I could feel their frustrations. And I didn't really think that education had improved since the last time I left.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really had no intentions of running. But several people said, well, you know, we need a classroom teacher. You know what's going on. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not sure of that. I was enjoying what I was doing, you know. And then... Governor Nikki Haley
mm-hmm.
came to Forest Hills Elementary in Colleton County in Walterboro,
mm-hmm.
and I read her education reform initiative, and I thought it was dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, she needs somebody to implement this. And I recognized it for several ways.
Okay.
I had worked for President George W. Bush mm-hmm. doing a presidential committee in Washington, and he had a disability initiative, and he was very much interested in that. He was interested in improving the lives of people with disabilities in their communities. And so when I read hers, I thought, you know, the highest level, because the president was interested in disabilities,
mm-hmm.
I knew how much you could get done. And I knew the same thing as governor, that because she was promoting it, so, you know, superintendent, it would be a fantastic job. I would love to implement her program. But it's her idea.
Right.
I have some ideas.
Yes.
But hers is this education reform initiative. And, you know, one of the things, actually two things, I think it's pretty good. She's focusing on reading,
mm-hmm.
which I saw is a great need.
I think, isn't the state of South Carolina actually trying to patent it after Florida's program, the third grade reading level?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
And that is certainly
and they've had great results.
Yes, they have.
South Carolina was going down and they were going up.
Sure.
So I think she got concerned too, obviously. I can't put words in her mouth. I just read, you know, her education reform initiative. And I thought, you know, this is really dynamic. It calls for a couple of things, and, you know.
So what do you think? I think you were in politics up there in Washington, D.C., and your husband definitely was.
Well, I followed my husband. I started out as a teacher. I just didn't know what I do meant, you know. When you're married, so I went up there, and I actually worked in the United States Department of Education when Ronald Reagan was president. And that I was in the special ed programs, you know.
Okay.
They had been, you know, implemented by Congress, so I was that. But I left, and I actually volunteered. Lee was the deputy campaign manager for President Reagan's reelection,
mm-hmm.
so I worked on his campaign, especially if I knew I wanted to see him, you know. So I was a great conservative, but hey.
You ate a lot of chicken. Is that what you're telling me?
I like chicken.
Okay.
And, you know, so I did that. And, of course, then I, you know, I was home for a while. And I said, I always got the call that nobody wanted to get. And that was, you know, Lee had done then the presidency for George Herbert Walker Bush. Mm-hmm. So then I ate a lot more chicken.
Yeah,
how about that?
I understand that. Yep. Okay.
And then when he won, President George Herbert Walker Bush asked him to be the chairman of the Republican National Committee. Mm-hmm. So again, I ate chicken. Yeah. Okay, we've got to be different.
But then I would think at this point in your life, you wouldn't want to eat another darn chicken.
You know, I love chicken. It's pasta I have a challenge with, okay? Because I did a lot of cooking of pasta with my kids and him.
Okay.
So. But I did that. And but I got the call that nobody ever wants to get, and that was to come to the hospital one day.
I understand. That had to have been a tough, tough time in your life.
It was a tough time. I mean, it was just out of the blue, you know. I was 8 months pregnant when I got that call.
Wow.
I had a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old. Actually, wow. They weren't quite that old at that age. And, you know, when I got there, I thought maybe he had fallen during a speech, but he had actually had a seizure.
Wow.
Never dreamed it was a malignant brain tumor. I mean, it took him and I both by
And
shock.
That was back when? What year was
that? That was in 90, and then he died in 91.
Yeah.
So I had three little girls under 10.
You know, and you just look back at that time, and what they know today about brain tumors and all this type of stuff is a big difference, but still, that was...
It's still challenging. I'll tell you, his was malignant. It was inoperable. So I'm not sure what the results would be.
Would have been, yeah.
You know, even today, you know, it's tough.
It's tough.
Just a tough disease. It's a glioblastoma, and that's one of the fastest growing, deadliest type brain tumors.
So what did you do?
Well, I raised my girls. Luckily,
came back to South Carolina.
No, I stayed up there. You know, I was fortunate that my mother, who worked for the Union County Schools, like I said, for 49 years, she was a woman of the Depression. And so she would always talk about good times and bad and how you better. And I luckily had taken out mortgage insurance on my home in D.C. And, of course, houses weren't selling down there then. It's kind of like how we went through all over in 2008.
Sure.
But up there, I knew what that was, so I stayed. And then when President George W. Bush went into office, he asked me if I wanted to serve as executive director of a presidential committee, again, that dealt with disabilities.
Wow.
And I did. I took that opportunity. You know, my girls were getting older then. My youngest was in sixth grade. And so I did. I enjoyed it. It was challenging.
Sure.
But it's very much like the State Board of Education, which is one of the duties of the superintendent, too. You know, it all kind of has tied back together for this job, I'm seeking, you know.
Well, you know, I think when you look at the job, there's, I guess one of my questions would be is, you've got to tie this all together. There is so much paperwork and administration people. I mean, my goodness,
well,
how many
right.
people work for the administration, the superintendent of education? How many actually work in the offices and everything? Do you have any idea?
I actually don't. You know, I was a teacher there. You know, I called often about the licenses, the certification,
sure.
you know. It's a huge building. Of course, I worked in a bureaucracy in Washington, too. So, you know.
Are you telling me you got lots of experience in bureaucracy?
I have some experience in that. How about that one?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And I worked in an agency called Administration for Children and Families.
Yeah.
They gave out $54 billion a year in low-income grants. Can you imagine?
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That is.
Pretty awesome.
That wasn't under all my, you know, jurisdiction.
Addiction.
But you know, that's, we all had discussions of how do you make these programs work better.
Sure.
You know,
exactly.
So the taxpayers get their money's worth.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We're going to be talking with Sally Atwater. She is a Republican candidate for Superintendent of Education here in South Carolina. She is part of a huge field. So we're trying to make sure that everybody that can come and talk and let us know what their program is and why they should be the next Superintendent of Education. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller. Today, our very special guest is Sally Atwater. And I can tell you, we're going to have an extended Meet Me at the Diner. We are actually going to have State Treasurer Curtis Loftus on after Sally goes here today. So I'm exhausted already. But anyways, Sally, I know that you went back to teaching. You came back to South Carolina. Why did you come back to South Carolina?
Well, South Carolina's my home.
Sure. But, I mean, you were up there in Washington. You had life going on.
Yeah, but you know what? My girls are grown then, you know. I had one down in college down here. I had one working as a nurse's tech. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I want to go home. I want to go back to teaching.
Sure.
So, you know, I mentioned that teachers have the greatest impact upon a life of a child and the education of a child.
Sure.
And so I wanted to have that experience. I had been grueling and fighting up in Washington, and I wanted, you know, more of a positive, worthwhile, rewarding type experience. And I thought I could give back.
Sure. Well, you know, I think we all can. In fact, you know, I think what we're seeing in this world is people are having multiple careers anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, I think people used to have one career and they went to school, and once they got out, you know, one of the things that I would ask is a question: what is your philosophy about where South Carolina should be going? What sets you apart from some of the others in the field? What is your vision? You know, you talked about Nikki Haley's reform, but what's your vision part of this?
Well, I went back to the classroom. I really wanted to see where we were with education. Mm-hmm. Has it improved, you know? So I was greatly concerned about, of course, reading.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I want to get out and outreach to parents, to teachers, to students, to make schools better. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to have all the answers. But I learned that through outreaching and working with people, you know, you can come up with some answers to things. I'm really for school safety.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big issue now.
Sure.
And school bus safety.
Yeah.
Big,
yeah.
Without spending all this money.
Sure. So safety is, and it is a big issue.
Is.
The buses are a big issue,
yep.
And of course, you know,
school bus safety is a big issue too.
Sure, yeah, the busing.
There's many challenges. You know, we've got to start working to that classrooms for the 21st century. We've got to have those skills for our students. We need that latest technology and online so they can develop that knowledge. Knowledge is moving so fast now.
Sure.
We've got to have that, again, that reading. I'm passionate about that.
Well, you know, back in the day when we all went to school, reading was fundamental?
Yes, yes. Well, it was fundamental, but, you know,
But got away from that. My point was, I think we got
away from
that. Yes.
And, you know, and then, you know, we seem to pass on children that didn't read fluently.
Sure.
And when you pass them on, then the next grades becomes harder, and so is the social studies and science.
Well, I think that goes to the idea of a lot of dropouts.
Well, it does. You know, I had a practicum, a reading practicum that I did at the Juvenile Detention Center in Columbia, and one of the things was, when the young adolescent men would leave, you know, they would many times come back because they didn't want to have to go to high school and admit they couldn't read.
Sure.
You know, that's a real challenge. Same thing. I taught adult education at night.
Right.
And many of them came because they wanted to learn to read better.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you learn to read, you become a better thinker. You don't follow people.
Right. Well, you know, and then, but the other thing is that someone has to continue reading. I think that is the other thing.
Totally.
One of the things that came across to me that totally amazed me is that you could actually lose the ability to read.
I'm sure you can. Yes,
if you
can.
Do not read, that you can lose the ability to read.
Yeah,
and I didn't know that, but that actually happens where people have to go back to school to learn to read. People that have worked in mills, for example, didn't really have to read because it was mill work.
And then they had to start, you know. I was just in Greenville earlier today, and the president of Greenville Technological College there was talking about a new major they were going to have, manufacturing.
That's right. Well, it's big. Piedmont Tech out here is big into it, and it really is. We are bringing manufacturing back to the United States.
That's right. And he said one of the things, though, they're going to have remedial math for them because they have to know math to run the machines.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was grand. You know,
it
we
is.
Need that. So another thing that I'm really...
Sally, we're going to have to hear South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back. Don't you go away. Hey, if you got a question for us, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, we're having a good time just talking about Gracie here. That's right. You know how she occupies everything in my life now. But, Sally, you know, one of the things we were just talking about is how you plan to bring your feelings, your ideas to the superintendent's office. And, of course, that's a big job. That's
it
a big
is
job.
It is a big job. But, you know, I learned a lot with that presidential committee about outreach, what that really does. If you get out among parents, teachers, then they become the vocal and they will help you. You know,
it isn't one of the biggest problems with our education system is parents. I mean, I hate to be this way, but, you know, they're hard for them to be involved with their kids. So there are those that want to be very involved, and then there's those.
You've got all kinds of parents,
right? And
right?
then you have a whole, though, and I really think, you know, we've come back around to thinking about parents being involved. But for a long time, it was like, I send my children to school. It's the teachers. It's that facility there.
Well, but the teacher needs reinforced at home, the reading, you know, math. The more time you can put into it, you know, we know that many parents work 2 and 3 jobs now.
Sure.
And so that's really hard. But you can really see the differences in a child that reads with their parents.
Sure.
Or takes that active involvement, you know.
So how do we balance what I think you coming from it from a teaching aspect with the being in that office? How do you balance it? How do you change the system? What needs to be changed in your opinion with what you've seen so far?
Well, I think teachers have been real frustrated and demoralized. We need to uplift them. We really need to get out there and I want to do that. I want to go out and meet with teachers. But I want to meet with parents and business leaders, too.
Sure.
To find out, so where are we going? Because each county, you know, education really belongs at the local level. The local school board has much of the power, along with administrators. This is not what I call a real power position.
Okay.
It has some, but it's not like a local school board.
Okay.
That's where, you know, that's where our state constitution intended for education to be. So,
So
I want to get out there and have this conversation with parents. What do you want from your schools? What do you want from a school superintendent? Now, I believe that we need to increase our graduation rates.
Mm-hmm.
And our, you know, standardized testing. And, of course, now we're going to have new standards, new state standards.
Now you're talking about Common Core?
Mm-hmm. I am talking about
I think, isn't the governor going to sign the law to undo Common Core here in the state of South Carolina?
I cannot tell you what the governor's going to do, but I believe it's getting close to being on her desk.
Right, it is. It's been sent to her desk.
Yes,
I don't know
okay.
It yeah,
so, but I'm not going to ever tell you what a politician's going to do.
Right,
you know?
But what do you feel? Was Common Core a bad thing?
I think Common Core was a bad thing.
From a teacher's perspective?
Not necessarily from a teacher's perspective, but probably somebody that had worked in Washington.
Okay.
You know, South Carolina, we really believe in states' rights.
Yeah, we do.
We do. We want to fight for that. We know what our standards should be. We know what we want our students and families and all to be part of. And so we need to establish, we had good state standards, so they were high. standards and high expectations. And so we will then develop, the new superintendent will develop new state standards.
Okay.
So there will be conversations on that.
Sure.
Because we don't want Washington telling South Carolina, you know, setting our standards.
Sure. And what about portability of education? Should our students be able to go from anything from homeschooling to online to charter schools?
And I do
should
like the dollars school choice. I do think that the parents should have the choice. They know their child best. You know, I do believe that choice, when you choose it for a child, you better pick a good choice. You know, high standards and high expectations. You want a good charter school.
Sure.
You know, your homeschooling, I've seen parents that are so devoted to that. And so they do a grand job, you know.
Do there need to be standards, you think, for homeschooling?
I'm not going to go that far. Because how am I going to ever judge that?
Well, I mean, how do we know that maybe they're learning what they need to be learning?
Well,
or do we know what we need to be learning?
Well, they do take tests, you know.
Yeah.
So, and most of them seem to be doing exceptionally well.
Sure. But, and so you feel that however one sees it best for the child, school choice would be a good direction, and the superintendent's
choice, you know, and money follows the child. We did that in special ed many years ago. You know, in Columbia, we had Bull Street, the institution and all, and you don't see that anymore.
Sure.
Money followed the person with disabilities. It has more in community life now.
Absolutely.
So that worked well there. So, you know.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been out to Burton Center out here in Greenwood. It is it is a fabulous facility.
Let me write that down.
We have an equestrian riding program for people with special needs out there. We have a huge facility where they can go and work and do all kinds of wonderful things.
Okay.
In fact, I'm just going to give a plug for my little Ashley Bond here, who is going to the National Special Olympics, June 14th, from Asheville, from Abbeville, and she is a bocce ball professional.
Oh, how interesting!
Absolutely,
that is amazing.
It is amazing.
And did she learn that at the Burton Center?
Well, I'm not sure she learned it at the Burton Center. She's always been involved. She's even a clogger. She's a clogger.
Okay.
She's involved in a lot of things. She has over 100 medals. She's 33, 34 years old now.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
And if anybody would like to donate to her cause, I'm going to go ahead and take 2 minutes here. Donate to her cause to be able to go on this trip to New Jersey. Call them out there at the Burton Center. I don't have the number right here, but call Teresa out there at the Burton Center. Would love for you to be able to give, whether it's $5 or $10 or whatever, to
That's
help her
fabulous.
Go.
Fabulous.
It is fabulous.
That's wonderful. And that she has that opportunity now, see?
Sure. And the Burton Center has done so much. Mm-hmm. We have Velux, Fujifilm. They have jobs out there that they work at and get paid for. Wow. They have.
I am very impressed. And how did you become so aware of the Burton Center?
I guess because of this radio job.
Oh, that's good. That you've interviewed. And
absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
That's
yeah. So there's
see,
a lot going on.
See how you share information? Well, as superintendent, I want to share information.
Absolutely.
Too, you know?
Sure.
And get more people involved. That's how you get people involved.
Absolutely. We also have the Miracle League here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're familiar with Miracle League. We have Miracle League out there at the Burton Center, too. So, good center out there. A lot being done. But, you know, the question that I have, too, is, what do you think is the most important way to prepare our kids for the life that's ahead of them? I mean, you know, that's a daunting task when you look at education and educating our kids.
Well, it is. It is. I think the reading is very important. It's a great need. You know, one of the things that I really believe in is financial literacy. I think we need more of that.
Financial literacy as in? What do you mean?
Learning the money.
Right.
And how to use it, how to save it, you know.
How to spend it?
Well, we seem to know that, don't we? You know, but that I also believe that, you know, we need the latest technology, and that broadband basis. You know, when I was teaching this last time, I had to fight 6 months just to get one computer for my students to use.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, we need this time. This is just going to be part of their future.
Absolutely.
Now, I've had to relearn it. That was one of the things when I went back into teaching. You know, I had to spend hours learning.
And they learn it so much easier and quicker.
Well, they do. But there are a lot of resources, even free resources online.
Absolutely.
For teachers and students.
Sure. You know, one of the things that fascinated me, I'll just share with you, we had Faye Sprouse. She is superintendent of District 51, which is over there in Ware Shoals.
Okay.
They now have, they received a Blue Ribbon Award for their elementary school and a Bronze Star, Bronze Medal for their high school. And, you know, one of the things that Faye was talking about was, yes, having the technology, but she believes in good old-fashioned social values. And,
well, you have to have that.
Yes.
You do need that, you know.
And they don't have the most modern of buildings, but
well,
they have...
Well, that's okay. It's not the building so much.
Right.
No, a lot goes back to the teachers, the principal, and, even, and of course the parents reinforcing it. You know?
Sure, exactly.
Listening skills, you know, manners.
Yeah, well, there's one.
Yeah, I sure did. Well, I always stress that in my class, you know.
I think that's very hard, and probably your intern might even be able to speak to that if she was allowed, but she won't be. But anyways, is the technology with the smartphones and everything, texting and emailing and all this kind of stuff. We've kind of forgotten some of these social skills, haven't we?
We have, and, you know, networking is one of the bases that you really get away, you know, and can improve in life. People really judge you on that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And being able to walk into a room and identify yourself and ask questions to people and just converse.
Yes.
You know?
The art of conversation could be going by the wayside.
It could. It really, you know, it'll be different.
Now, what do you feel about handwriting? This is just one of my personal quirks about this one.
Well, you know, I know cursive has been a big issue. You
yes.
know, I read the other day that it was the state, if we... we're going to teach cursive writing. It was going to cost $27 million. I just almost sat back. I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, my goodness, I would go around and teach every student in the state cursive for that.
For $27
million? Yeah. That's good, isn't it?
You sure you're running for the right job, then?
That's right. That's it. But no, people say, how are you going to sign your name on legal documents?
Exactly.
So I do. I like cursive.
So should we keep cursive? I think the state government is actually decided.
The state legislature is going to decide kind of thing. So.
But personally, we need cursive.
I like cursive. You know, especially a child with disabilities grasps cursive a lot easier than the manuscript.
Yeah.
You know.
So.
Of course, you know, with computers now, you know, we don't use it as much.
But it has something to say of one's ability to do stuff like
that. It's just
like
multiplication tables, you know?
Oh, well, we got to throw those out. We don't need those. We got smartphones to answer that question.
You know, I have a daughter that's just now finishing nursing school, and one of the things they had to do each quarter was take a math test. You had to be able to pass this math test, even though you may have computers making the calibrations and all.
Right.
You have to do it in case they're not working.
Absolutely.
You know?
I couldn't agree with you more. Hey, I'm here with Sally Atwater. She is running for Superintendent of Education for South Carolina. She is in the primary coming up on June 10th. So why don't you stay right with us? We'll be right back.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I am talking with the one and only Sally Atwater. You know, Sally, had you thought about writing a book?
Have I thought about writing a book?
I've never had
time to write a book.
Well, you know, I just was thinking, with all the fascinating things in Washington that you were involved in with your husband and the Bushes and Reagan and everything, that could be a fascinating book.
It could be a fascinating book, but they've had lots of books written. But maybe one time, I've just never had that opportunity. You know, when my husband died, my kids were little.
Sure.
So then I went back to work and managed a house and educated them.
Became a single parent.
That's right. I sure did.
So you can appreciate what it takes to be a single parent.
I sure can. So when my parents or a single parent walked in, I understood.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that that is important. But as you look forward here to winning the primary here, you really feel that our teachers, what should I say, need more support?
I do think so. And positive support, not just, you know, the negative support. I think we need to uplift them up.
You know, one of the things that Superintendent Zace was in the process, and I think it's coming through the system, is grading our teachers.
Right. I am not for grading teachers.
You're not?
No.
Okay.
Not. You know, we have teacher evaluations. I actually held a forum. Teachers, all of them, disagreed with that. They're professional people. They wouldn't have their certification, and that's grading is just not, to me, a professional way to do it.
Well, what do you do with the teacher who is, what shall we say, not making the grade? I'll just say it that way.
Well, you know, they have certain benchmarks where they work. You know, we all are evaluated.
Sure.
And you know, I think one of the things, too, that we need, you know, usually it's an administrator, mm-hmm. principal, vice principal, assistant principal, whatever, comes and evaluates a teacher. And there are many things that go into that evaluation. And I think teachers, though, need to have the ability to evaluate their school and their principals, too.
So you think it should be a two-way street?
I do think it should be a two-way street. I've seen, and the more teachers I've talked to, active teachers, current teachers, retired teachers, all come up with these stories on their evaluations.
Yes.
And so it's very interesting. You know, everybody wants to hold the teacher accountable.
Sure.
Sure. But, you know, we have many teachers in our state, and I was just learning how many teachers we do have, and I believe it's about 49,000 teachers.
49,000? I have no idea, but that could be.
So, see,
that's a big.
And so there's a lot of teachers, and you know, we are not going to have, all of them are not going to be A-plus teachers.
Sure. Well, I think we all can remember a teacher that inspired us, that made us want to learn more.
And we all want that.
Sure.
We want that. But, you know, I agree there that, but, you know, they have ways to work with these teachers and try to encourage them, you know. Everybody always wants to do it in such a negative way, you know.
Okay.
That if I had done that same with my students, I promise you, they would be out, you know, not coming to school at all. They were there every day.
Every day, yeah.
Every day. It's how you word something, too.
Sure.
You know, you've got to work with people.
Absolutely.
To come up with an answer.
Well, I think you're right. And, you know, I think one of the things, we have children, when they first go to school, they're excited, they're thrilled.
Sure.
And then somewhere along the way, we have a lot of them that get disinterested, and possibly because they can't read,
right.
they can't keep up, and
right.
this type of thing.
And there's a lot of pressures on teachers, too. Well, you know, what is your class? How's our standardized test looking? You know, how's this and that? Because they're graded, the schools are graded, you know?
Sure.
And given a report card.
So the answer is?
Well, I don't think there's a simple answer like that.
Okay. You can't give it to me in 2 minutes or less?
Well, I'll try to give you some. I'll try.
Okay.
You know, I want to encourage you. That's my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That was my platform for getting in. I want to work with teachers. I want to work with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to work with our students and community leaders. So.
Sure.
And to uplift them. Not just to center on the negative. You're going to have those negative, I promise you, and we'll deal with those.
Sure.
You know. But we want to encourage people to come into teaching. We're wanting to look for those teachers. They know they're going to have to make a sacrifice. You know, but they're professionals. They've studied hard for it.
So as we get to the top of the hour here, Sally, what do you think is the, what would you like people to know about you?
That I'm very passionate about education.
Mm-hmm.
That I know we need to make education a priority in South Carolina. That now we have the governor and the legislature interested in education reform, and we better take this as an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And I want to reach out to these parents. You know,
well, one of the questions that just came in, Gina said, how do you get parents involved in the school system, in working with the school?
Well, I think we never know what's going on in a home life.
You're right.
So that's always going to be a challenge. But we need to welcome them, you know, and I'm willing to go out and work with parents. I'll go to the churches, whatever, you know, that takes to say, you know, to try to explain to them why we need them to be a teacher, too, to their children, you know,
sure.
And encourage the academics and the reading and all.
Well, I think, you know, I think it is very hard to get parents involved, and particularly when a school system says, okay, your time to be there is 4:45 for your parent-teacher conference,
right.
And you can't be there at 4:45.
Well, but you know what? And we work with them that way. When you have the opportunity to send positive notes to parents, so they want to feel welcoming, you know.
Sure. So
I think that's a worthy goal.
I think it's a worthy goal, absolutely,
yeah, I mean,
because if we could get parents, and of course, parenting unto itself is an issue in today's world.
It is. It is a very challenge. As a single parent, I can look at you right now and say how challenging it was for me. I had three girls, you
sure.
know, and running a household, paying all the bills.
Yeah.
And trying to raise the girls was very challenging. And beside that, cooking and cleaning and everything else, you know.
Makes sense.
I mean, you know, you kind of have to step back, though, and say what, you know, should be my priorities. And one of the things I wanted my girls to have was a childhood and a good education.
Sure. And I think we want that for all our children.
Yes,
I think that's
do.
What we I think every parent would like that. A lot of parents don't know how to go about getting
that's
that.
Right. That's
so
right.
I think some parts of it is we've got to educate parents on how to be parents and how to look at finding the ways to help their children.
That's exactly right. I think you've said it perfectly.
How about that, Ann? Well, I didn't mean to.
Well, you did
it. All right. So, Sally Atwater, I'm going to give you 1 minute here once I give the station ID to wrap this up and tell the people why they should vote for you. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. This is Sally Atwater. She is running for South Carolina Superintendent of Education. Sally, tell us why you should be the next Superintendent of Education.
Well, I've just come from the classroom. I've seen where our teachers are and what we need. I am great at working with families, students, and of course our teachers and administrators. But I know I can't do it alone. And so I asked for their vote on June the 10th. I have worked and taught for many years. I am passionate about education, and I want to make education a priority in South Carolina. And with the help of our voters, I can.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it right here from Sally Atwater. Sally, thanks so much for coming on the show here today.
Thanks, Ann. I appreciate it.
All
and
right.
I love Gracie.
Okay. Well, good.
This is
WCRS. Don't you go away. We're coming right back after the news.